Somehow this stranger had been able to provide me with a certain peace of mind which was all too familiar to me, one which always made me feel more comfortable before embracing any unusual and mysterious experience such as this, whatever it may turn out to be. We pushed onward, the narrow dirt trail we were on twisting in every direction throughout the maze of trees. The afternoon sun was beginning to sink lower and lower in the sky, and I was unsure of how much daylight we had left or how much farther we were still compelled to go. The peak effects from the drugs I had consumed during my binge over the previous day and a half were long over, and my body and mind were coming down hard, feeling numb and completely exhausted. I felt mentally and emotionally drained. I wanted to collapse on a bed and felt like any second my feet might just give out from underneath me. Yet I told myself it didn't matter. I knew I wouldn't be able to sleep for hours anyways still. Well, the comfort and overwhelming euphoria caused by the rush of chemicals had worn off and were no longer the main focus of my attention. My mind now raced at the countless possibilities of who this man was and what he might possibly want with me. Again, my mind felt it necessary to remind me that he could have killed me right there if he had so desired to, and he hadn't yet. I suppose that it's a good thing I've made a point of preventing myself from accumulating too many enemies over the course of my lifetime. The two of us walked on, although it was beginning to become a grueling task. In addition to being completely spent in an emotional and mental sense, my legs were starting to grow tired and ache as well. It had been a long week, and I certainly hadn't expected to find myself in this situation. Yet here I was, and I reminded myself again that this is exactly what I had wished for. At a certain point, my mind convinced itself that the afternoon would simply never end, as neither would the forest that we were lost in, wandering aimlessly. However, I kept trying to remind myself that time had always continued to pass, and would continue to do so, and after walking for what felt like an eternity, finally, I could faintly hear the sound of running water over the words being spoken by my fellow comrade. At first, I questioned my own sanity, wondering if there actually was any water, or if it was no more than a delusion of my consciousness. "Where's that coming from?" a voice inside me had to ask. Arthur informed me that there was a river close by, quickly gesturing in one direction with his finger. Sure enough, as we kept walking, the sound grew louder and louder, and within moments we came to an opening on the bank of a river, which we followed along. The soft sound of the crisp, clear, shallow water running rapidly over the sharp-pointed rocks sounded soothing as it grated my ears, and the soft lighting from the afternoon sun that reflected off the stream provided Arthur and I with a much better field of vision compared to the thick, constant containment that the dense forest of trees offered. The two of us made small talk and shared several stories with one another to help pass the time as our walk continued on. I eventually began to consider that death might not be such a terrible fate, but these grim thoughts didn't linger long. "I'll be fine after a full night's sleep and a good meal," I tried telling myself. Little did I realize how long it would be until I got either of those again. At least the joint had helped temporarily ease the symptoms. After following the riverbank for a significant length of time, the trail changed direction again and wound away from the river, back into the trees, although the sound of flowing water remained clearly audible as we continued on our way. My new friend assured me that we were almost at our destination. We each lit another cigarette and continued on our way, dodging to avoid getting hit in the face by low-hanging branches or tripping over dead branches, roots, and rocks scattered across the ground. Our line of sight was greatly obscured again by the trees and the dimming sun, and twisting an ankle at this point would mean certain doom. We were miles away from anybody. Just as I was about to accept my fate of dying alone in the middle of this godforsaken forest with this stranger, I noticed something. A light. An extremely bright light. Blinding light, in fact. But at the same time, one which had a certain soft vibration about it. A certain aura penetrating this otherwise black, forbidden, proverbial graveyard, unlike any light I had ever seen before. Almost divine-like in a sense. There was something strange about this illuminating presence, and it's impossible to explain what it was in words. I could simply sense something special and unique about it. and it met my eyes through the thick layer of branches and trees. All of the looming trees made it impossible to tell what was emitting such an entrancing and almost hypnotic essence. "What is that?" the words fell softly from my mouth as I thought out loud to myself again, rather than actually expecting a response. Arthur advised me that I had no reason to worry. We continued to make our way farther along the narrow, winding path, and before much longer I was able to make out a clearing up ahead. Once again, the faint sound of running water we had left in the distance began to grow louder too. We each quickened our pace, and soon we were out of the maze of trees and standing in the middle of a grassy plain, lit up by the full moon, which had long since replaced the golden sun in the sky. The grass was tall, unkept, and overrun with weeds. I shivered as my mind contemplated what foul, unknown creatures could possibly be living there, hiding from us, concealed within the tall grass. "Let's get out of here," I suggested. To our left, the river came pouring out from beyond the wall of trees and into a larger lake which stretched out in front of us, on the horizon of which I was able to see the same mystic light I had noticed from within the trees, which had sparked my interest not even moments prior, shining from across the body of water. As I gazed around and took in my surroundings, I noticed a small dinghy which sat on the shore with a small mast in the center, capable of accommodating up to 2 small sails. I stared out over the water for a moment before I couldn't help myself any longer. "Where's that light coming from?" I asked, curiosity finally getting the better of me. "You won't believe me unless you see it for yourself," Arthur answered. "Now, come and help me push this into the water." He made his way through the grass and over to our small vessel. "You can lie down during our ride if you want, if you're tired." I breathed out a sigh of relief and followed him to the boat, slipping off my shoes and socks and tossing them inside the fiberglass hull to keep them dry before helping him push it out into the water, making sure to quickly jump in before the water level dropped off. Arthur raised the sails, and I collapsed on one of the benches, exhausted. The dinghy wasn't much, but it was enough, and looked like it could comfortably fit up to 30 people if it had to. I only prayed we wouldn't find ourselves trapped in the middle of a storm. On the floor lied 2 paddles, a tiny bucket for bailing water, and 3 life jackets. The wind was at an absolutely perfect strength for the journey we were about to make. Arthur used one of the paddles to help push us away from shore, and soon the wind caught our sails, filling them immediately and propelling us forward. I breathed in the cool night air and tried to calm myself as we drifted across the water. I let out a resigned sigh in a combination of both discomfort from the long day and also of relief at finally being able to rest. I could feel that I needed something to eat and drink. I reached into my pocket and felt around for the resealable miniature green plastic baggie I had. When I found it, I grabbed it and pulled it out. "What have you got there?" asked Arthur, sitting near the back, controlling the rudder. "One second," I protested. I held the top corner of the bag with my left hand and tapped it a couple of times with my right index finger. Then, using caution, as our boat was rocking back and forth in the water, I very carefully opened the bag and, with my right hand now, tapped a little bit of the white powder out from the bag and onto my left thumbnail. Then I raised it to my left nostril and sharply snorted the powder. I repeated this process a second time, snorting it through my right nostril, before taking a small amount on my finger and rubbing it on my gums. I closed the bag and offered it to Arthur, who happily obliged. "Hopefully that helps with the appetite and exhaustion for a while," I said, and he followed my process before handing the bag back. I noticed my mood lift almost instantly as the drug took hold. I looked out across the water, squinting as we drew closer and closer to the light. Drawing closer and closer to the edge of the unknown light source, my heart began to race faster and faster. I had no idea what to expect, and I tried to gaze within to the light in order to see what lied in store. But my efforts proved futile as my sight became blinded by the light. I stared straight up into the night sky, and then from side to side. The light had seemed to have taken on a life of its own as we had gradually approached it. From the shoreline, it had looked as if it had only been surrounding a small area, no more than a speck of the world, a dot on the map. But now, as I observed it up close, it stretched out as far as I could see in each direction. I could even see it piercing down through the water, as if it was some sort of void we were about to enter. I did my best to keep composed on the outside, but on the inside I was a mess and falling apart. I was extremely frightened of what this strange essence was. I was shaking, trying to keep myself together. Arthur stood up and lowered the sails, allowing the dinghy to gently drift forward on its own accord at a snail's pace, hardly more than a stop. The tip of the bow slightly came into contact with the edge of the light before gradually disappearing into it, as if disappearing into a thick mist which slowly enveloped and consumed the boat, starting at the front and softly overtaking us entirely, wrapping us in its relentless clutch as it crawled from the tip of the bow to the very back of the stern while we continued to drift forward. After a moment, the entire front end of the boat had disappeared into the aura, and I could no longer even see the bow as the light now began to wash over me. I was sitting in the front and looked back at Arthur, who was directly behind me. His eyes met mine as if to remind me I had nothing to fear, and I slowly took a deep breath and just let go of everything I thought I knew about life, drifting into the void with the rest of the dinghy. And just like that, it was over.